This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North. Thanks so much for joining us today. Over the course of this week, our Project Milwaukee series, The Currency of Water, has explored the global water crisis and the efforts that some are hoping to pursue to establish Milwaukee as a hub for water research and innovation. Advocates say research being done at Milwaukee area institutions, most notably UW-Milwaukee, could be spun off in the form of patents and that the university and the local economy would be the beneficiary of the windfall. While critics question just how much the economic benefit to the broader community might be, there's no disputing that serious freshwater research is already playing out here. UWM's Great Lakes Water Institute has actually been trying to answer scientific questions for four decades. And leaders are hopeful that the development of a school for freshwater sciences at UWM will play a key role in water research in the future. Val Klump is the director of the Great Lakes Water Institute and a senior scientist there, and Rebecca Clapper is an associate scientist at the Institute. Klump explained to Lake Effect's Mitch Teich the relationship that will exist between the Institute and the School of Freshwater Sciences.
So we've had a presence, a research, an organized research unit within the university for a long time. We operate a research vessel on the Great Lakes. We're the only research institute to do that 12 months of the year. But the one thing we haven't had is a graduate program directed directly at freshwater science. And although it's surprising, although there are many marine institutes and oceanographic schools exist that have been organized around that theme, there aren't any schools of freshwater sciences in the country. So this is the nation's first. That's not to say there aren't some great freshwater programs. There's just nothing organized at the level of a school. And so the key point of the school is to create a graduate program, attract graduate students, and train, you know, future scientists and technologists in the area of freshwater.
And there are obviously some very basic different kinds of questions you ask when you're studying freshwater issues than what the oceanographic schools are doing.
Sure. But the Great Lakes, I mean, to call them lakes, mere lakes, is kind of a misnomer because these are really inland seas. I mean, these waters have put some of the biggest ships ever built on the bottom. So they are oceanographic in scale. And so many of the tools that we use, like research vessels, et cetera, are oceanographic tools. But as you point out, these are different. The primary difference is they're freshwater. So I always tell our oceanographic friends who deal with coastal pollution issues and say it's one thing in the ocean. It's another thing in the Great Lakes when you actually drink this water. So we really are tied much closer to our aquatic environment, I think, even than the marine coastal systems.
What do you think people should know about how the work that you're doing and that you might do in the future fits in with the so-called World Water Hub strategy that the city and the region are pursuing?
Well, if you look at sort of what the research agenda for the School of Freshwater Sciences and the Water Institute will be in the future, I break it down into sort of four areas. One is basic system dynamics. In other words, how do these freshwater systems work? Because you can't manage something unless you understand how it operates. And all of these systems, all freshwater systems, are heavily managed, whether we do it, you know, deliberately or accidentally, we manage and impact these systems. So that's really a key. And that's been a central role of the Institute's research agenda, I would say, for the last 40 years. How does the system work? Secondly, how do we impact these systems, and how can we make these systems sustainable in the future? So the link between human activity and sustainability, that is a huge challenge in almost every environmental field in the 21st century. Nowhere is it more important than water. So that's number two. Number three is developing the technology to make these systems sustainable, because we can't just flip a switch, let Mother Nature heal herself in most instances. So we're going to have to apply technology, whether that's new gadgets, new sensor systems, new ways of treating water, new ways of dealing with water, or whether it's new models or new ways of looking at conservation, et cetera. We need to develop those kinds of technologies. And fourthly, is the whole policy piece. Because in many cases, we know what the problem is, we have the technology, but we don't have the policy or the political structures in place. or the social structures. I mean, a lot of it is changing the habits of people. People take water for granted, and we've got to change that. We have to think about our water footprint, you know, what we do and how much water that consumes. You know, we live in an area which we have abundant water supply. That doesn't mean we don't have water problems, because we do. So those four things, how the system works, what it's going to take to make it sustainable, what kind of technologies we need, and what kind of policies and changes in people's habits.
One of the great things about this school, too, is that it's designed to be interdisciplinary in nature. And so generally when a scientist goes for training, they're in a kind of a silo where they're being trained in a very specific area. And the goal of this program is to have students that are trained in multiple different disciplines, or at least have experience in those different disciplines, because the nature of these water problems is very interdisciplinary. And so you have the policy problem, you have the assessment of the danger problem, and trying to come up with the solution. And often it involves things that go from biology to engineering to those policy questions.
What role does the Water Institute play on the M7 Water Council?
Well, we're a member of the Water Council, and so and a number of our scientists have been involved in the planning and participate in those discussions. One of the things that's come out of the Water Council that the Water Institute is involved with, in part, is the formation of what's known as an Industry University Cooperative Research Center. And that's a link between primarily the School of Engineering, but also the Water Institute and local businesses to try and put together a university industry cooperative around the area of water. And so that's one of the first steps.
Well, and so then the question is, do you feel pressures as more and more players get involved? You know, if it were just the Great Lakes Water Institute doing this work and you know, leaving it to industry to figure out what they want to do with it, it would be one thing. But being involved in this kind of broader strategy, when people say they want Milwaukee to be the Silicon Valley of water, does that in your mind raise the stakes for the work you're doing?
As an individual scientist, I think it provides us more opportunities. There are a lot of university situations where you don't have interaction with the community or with business leaders, and this has provided a forum for having that interaction and seeing maybe potential linkages between our basic science research and where it might be applied in water industry. So I think overall it's been beneficial. I think some of the pressures of coming up with those technologies in the future might cause a little bit of strain between the two groups. But overall, I think it's a great opportunity that's being provided us here that we just generally don't have as academicians.
Yeah, what I tell people is we've been in the business in the past of studying the problems. And we're going to get more into the business of studying the solutions and coming up with the solutions. That means we'll have to hire some additional people who are more into issues of water treatment or conservation, et cetera, a different kind of scientist. But it's important to have those people working together because, and I'll give you an example, Rebecca's interest in pharmaceuticals, and this is an emerging contaminant issue now. She's doing the basic science of understanding how they might be having impact in the system or what their distribution is even. That leads to the question, okay, if this is a problem, then how are we going to solve it? So that's a different ball game kind of, you know.
And is it a different scientist? Is it a translational scientist?
A different scientist because now we're talking about how we treat or deal with our wastewater. And conventional sewage treatment facilities don't typically remove these materials. So it's a different process, a whole different thing. But the two are intimately linked, and that's sort of one of the things we're trying to accomplish.
Well, and people in the journalism world talk about the firewall between editorial and business, you know, that the business end of the equation shouldn't drive the journalism part of the equation. Is there an equivalent firewall between business and science?
You know, industry usually has a very specific problem. They want to make a particular part or a product or a gadget more efficient in terms of its operation. University science, research scientists, particularly at a university, are typically broader than that. But for example, if you're a company that's dealing with some kind of water flow system, you might not have the expertise in-house for somebody who is like a computational fluid dynamicist, somebody who can actually model how that fluid is flowing through your system. And you would never have that, and you might have a hard time finding that person. But that's where a university research scientist can come in. People who have that sort of mathematical and theoretical talent can actually solve some fairly basic problems for a company. And so that's where I see the match going to be when we pull those things up. But well, I think having industry identify the kinds of problems that they see in the future and the kind of problem we see in the future, I think there's going to be a lot of overlap.
Scientists at the university often have a broader reach as far as their interests go and what they're able to pursue than in an industry environment. And so, for instance, in one of the areas of my research in the nanotechnology field, the academic researchers kind of led the way in looking to see which of the nanomaterials might be more toxic than other nanomaterials, whereas potentially in an industry perspective, you would be focused in on your one particular nanomaterial that you're producing at your company and wouldn't have that ability to go explore multiple different types of materials that you might create for one of your products.
Yeah.
So the academic environment allows for greater exploration of the science, whereas in a business field, you're very narrow-minded into what your product is.
So. Yeah. And the other link is, of course, what the other thing that universities do, and they train people. And that's probably the biggest impact that we would have on the water industry and local business in particular, is producing, you know, our graduates. So, I mean, we have students, undergraduate engineering students. I'll give you one example that work in our facility at the Water Institute, developing underwater robots and monitoring systems that we use out in the lake as scientists to understand the internal dynamics of the lake. Well, these undergraduate engineering students are developed into sort of the mechanical engineering, the software, the sensor systems, how you integrate all that. That's a great experience. When they complete this and they graduate, they have no trouble getting jobs. They're snapped up by local industries. They're working for Rockwell, for Johnson Controls, Astronautics. I mean, so these kids are well-trained, and that's one of the things that I think a big link between what the university will do and the local industry.
And so then your vested interest in the development of the water-based economy is to allow things to develop so that these people that you'll be turning out can find work in this area.
Right. And they'll probably go and work, you know, all over the world, because this is a huge, you know, it's a $400+ billion a year industry. So there are plenty of opportunities out there for these students. Yeah, we'd love to see them work here. We'd love to see them stay in Southeast Wisconsin. And, you know, there are enough industries here that I think a large fraction of them can. So we want to sort of reverse the brain drain, if you can. And this is one area where we have a fighting chance to do that.
Well, and so then let me ask you, as scientists who are at the heart of the academic and research part of this World Water Hub strategy, what is your reaction when people use the term Silicon Valley of water?
Well, I mean, it's a huge expectation. I don't think that's going to happen overnight. It didn't happen in Silicon Valley overnight. And but this is a huge global issue. We're not going to be the only world hub of fresh water, but there is clearly a need in multiple places, including the United States. And we have a leg up. I mean, we certainly have a head start. We have a concentration of industries here. We have a university which has stepped up to the plate in creating a new school. So I think, you know, we have lots of the pieces that and we've recognized this is an issue. So, you know, we're the world's water hub. I don't think that's necessarily so important as that we address important issues, train students, and conduct the research that will, you know, solve problems.
And I think that concept of Silicon Valley is kind of translated into an area where we have this high concentration of people that are all focusing in on this kind of global problem. And we need all those folks in those several different disciplines in order to solve some of these problems, whether they're minor or large. And so this can be an area where we have a concentration of people that are all dedicated towards this issue. And that way, you know, we're kind of a Silicon Valley of water ideas.
Do you think of it as solving the world's problems more than just Milwaukee's problems?
I think definitely anything that's happening here in Milwaukee is happening on a global scale. And so even if a scientist is focusing in or a company on issues that are going on in Milwaukee, they're applicable worldwide.
Well, Rebecca Clapper and Val Klump, thanks so much for spending some time with us and shedding some light on it for us.
Well, thanks for having us, Mitch.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Val Klump is a senior scientist and director of the Great Lakes Water Institute at UW-Milwaukee. Rebecca Clapper is a Shaw Associate Scientist at the Institute. They spoke with Mitch Tyke as part of the Project Milwaukee series, The Currency of Water.